Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, host of WNYC's New Tech City, in for John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. In a few moments, we'll talk to investigative reporter Peter Moss about the rare access he was given to interview NSA leaker Edward Snowden and his behind-the-scenes look at the two reporters with whom Snowden shared his secrets. It's a revealing portrait of modern-day investigative journalism. And later this hour, a look at the advantages and disadvantages posed by our smartphones, how they're changing the way we do things, from hailing taxicabs to having a relationship and even throwing a wedding. But we want to begin in Egypt. Egyptian military forces cleared out two pro-Morsi camps in Cairo overnight. There are reports of armored vehicles, bulldozers, and tear gas being used by government forces against supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi, and unconfirmed reports of dozens of fatalities. Muslim Brotherhood officials are calling it a massacre. The sound of gunfire in Cairo. We're seeing crowds running, clouds of tear gas. Complete chaos in the capital. David Kirkpatrick is in Cairo for our partner, The New York Times, and I just want to read to you some of what David has been tweeting. Blocks from Rabah Sidin in Cairo, soldiers are firing live ammunition at a lone young man throwing rocks from a roof. Morsi supporters are outside, have no weapons, but are attempting to make Molotov cocktails, break rocks, futile. That's a tweet from David Kirkpatrick, who also says the number of dead bodies in a makeshift morgue nearby rose from 3 to 12 in the 15 minutes that he was there. Reports backed up by pictures of what appear to be dozens of dead bodies. And here's another tweet from David. We were pinned down by gunfire, trying to find the alleged safe exit from the outside. Safe now. And it would appear that the violence isn't just in the capital. Churches are reported to have been set on fire in other parts of the country. So far, appeals for calm are being ignored. David says Egypt's most respected Muslim cleric, the Imam of Al-Azhar, has made a televised statement calling for an end to the violence. Louisa Lovelock, freelance reporter based in Cairo, is filing for the Global Post, and she's on the line with us now. Louisa, what's been going on?
Well, it's been an incredibly bloody day in Cairo and further afield across Egypt. In the early hours of this morning, police and military forces surrounded two pro-Morsi encampments in East Cairo and subsequently appear to have killed a huge number of people. It seems that the death toll at the moment stands at around 140, although we can certainly expect to see this rise throughout the evening.
So you sound really calm. Where are you and what have you been seeing?
Well, I've just got back to my apartment, so it's slightly easier to be calm here. I spent about 2 or 3 hours trying to get into the Rabah sit-in this morning, which is the large one.
That's where the protesters have been having a sit-in for weeks, right?
Yes, they've had a sit-in for the last month protesting the deposition of President Mohamed Morsi. Unfortunately, the police and military had surrounded the area, and not only were they killing people inside, but they were also shooting at anyone who tried to enter using tear gas, birdshot, and even live ammunition. So it was very, very difficult to get in, and because of the fact that the phone signal was largely jammed due to the networks being overloaded, there was a near news blackout from inside.
Now, the people that were around there, were they surprised that this was happening? Had they been expecting that there would be a move by the military today?
People have expected a move for a while now, but there keep being rumors that it will happen and then it never quite materializes. Although people sort of were expecting the worst, I'm not sure that they quite expected something as bad as we've seen today. And I actually made it into the sit-in in the end. And it was in a very confined space. It was the closest thing I've ever seen to a war zone. You've still got thousands of people in there determined to hold their ground. They are facing live ammunition from the police. There's tear gas is hanging in the air. It's very, you know, you can feel it. It stings your face. And there are repeated volleys still going in. But people aren't leaving. You have women, you have children, you have old men sort of sitting under tents whilst their fellow protesters face up against the police, climb up on barricades and chant. But the question now is, if this continues, what happens after dark?
So, Louisa, does today feel different? Does this feel kind of like a turning point? Because it's kind of been like a slow-moving train wreck over there.
Well, it's certainly the bloodiest day I've ever known in Egypt. But the problem is the Muslim Brotherhood are so isolated. that there is a very good chance that the military and police will not receive the sort of condemnation domestically that they should, because there is a very strong belief here that the Muslim Brotherhood are terrorists, that they are all armed with weapons. There have been a lot of rumours and reports to suggest that there's been torture going on inside the camp over the past month. So they don't necessarily have public opinion on their side, and that will certainly be very significant in the weeks that follow as we try to recover from this terrible, terrible day.
Louisa, thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Louisa Lovelock, freelance reporter based in Cairo for the Global Post.